For sure, we need more people like you just spreading the word about these artists. Because you know,
that, yes,
real.
Indeed.
We need more people like y'all rocking on the radio and letting everybody know. Especially shout out to the people listening in New Zealand. That blew me away. I was like, that's what's up.
Yeah, that's what's up.
Listen, this is my first time checking out the show. I'm glad to see somebody talking about hip hop in this format. I'm used to hearing sports talk radio, so this is a dream come true right here.
Also, real quickly, I would add that this is the first talk show that's, you know, that prescribes to our condition. I mean, I listen to talk radio all the time. First time I've ever heard an eloquent talk show host like you and your co-host who actually has the skill of dictation.
Many faces.
You sick for this one. This one.
I'm on my New York. Got the world following the New York script. Hustle with Timbs and hoodies on my New York flip. Rubber band stack money with my New York click. Yeah, I'm on my New York. I rep the Giants, Jets, New York Knicks. Tell I made clothing with my New York stitch. My chick banging, don't you see my New York? Yeah, I'm on my New York.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Peace and love. Peace and love. Man, we missed y'all, man. We weren't here last week on the New York Hip Hop Report, but we're back in effect, as we are nearly every week, every Sunday night from 10 p.m. to 11:30 p.m., give or take. Sometimes we babble on a little bit longer. Sometimes we cut it a little short. We mostly go long because, you know, I talk a lot. So here we are once again, Sunday nights, the New York Hip Hop Report with Manny Faces. My name is Manny Faces, and I go, I'm the founder and editor-in-chief of Birthplace Magazine, birthplacemag.com. The number one website for New York hip hop. Isn't that wonderful? The number one website for New York hip hop. Of course, music and culture. That's what we tend to do. So we got to make sure that we cover all angles, all aspects, all elements. And we do that with to the best of our abilities on the website as a journalistic endeavor. And then we're here every Sunday night kind of talking our ish, more like sports talk radio. So you'll rarely hear music on this show. If you're a first-time listener, it's kind of like sports talk radio. You call me the Mike Francesa of this New York hip-hop game. And we invite you to give a call if you want to talk about anything we're talking about or you know anything you want to bring up. New York hip-hop related, our number is 646-378-1282. Once again, my name is Manny Faces, and I'm joined this week as I am each and every week on the New York Hip-Hop Report with my man, my mellow, up in the Bronx where the people are fresh. Steve Ortiz. What up, Steve?
Hey, what up, Manny? What up, listeners? Glad to be back, man.
If long-time listeners will know that as soon as I introduce you, nine times out of ten, they'll hear this. which is me taking a drink of the drink. Right, because I know you're going to say something. So I got like 2 seconds. To start sipping my drink. So everyone, that's a little known behind the scenes fact. Shouts to Benny Blanco. Shouts to Ace of Spades, already on a check-in in the chat room. Yeah, if you're listening, you should see a chat room. I don't see, it's strange. There's a chat room that we got. If you don't see, I don't see any names listed. So if it's acting funky, I don't know what to tell you, but
yeah, let me check it out.
Yeah, refresh if you don't see it. There is a chat room. Please join the conversation there. And, of course, like I said before, this episode is brought to you by Birthplace Magazine, our mothership. And not only is it the number one website for New York hip-hop, of course, but really is the real icing on the cake is our event calendar. So please do check out the birthplacemag.com event calendar. It's an amazing assortment of events that have to do with hip-hop music and culture around the New York City area, really chock full of stuff on there, not just the big concerts and big events, but also indie shows and showcases and open mics and the nitty-gritty like art exhibits or if shouts to some of our veteran OG photographer friends like Joe Conzo and Jamel Shabazz who have sometimes photographic exhibitions and museums. Like, you won't see that on a lot of hip-hop calendars, but we'll make sure that it's on ours. And if you have events, if you're an artist, we have a lot of indie artists to check out our show. If you have events, promoters love us because we always put their stuff up for free. You can list your event on the birthplacemag.com event calendar for free 99 So make sure you log in over there, birthplacemag.com/events. Plan your hip-hop life with the Birthplace Magazine event calendar. Got some new stuff on the site. We're going to talk about that tonight. Got some new releases that we came across. So always want to bring you up to date with some new releases that you might have missed because, you know, the blog game is funny. There's a lot of blogs out there that are trying to do a great job bringing new music, but it can get a little cluttery. So, you know, you guys know that we've been here now 117 episodes. We tend to bring you some good stuff and help you cut through that clutter. Also going to give a big respect and a nod to the late, great Mr. Magic on his birthday, radio pioneer, hip-hop legend, Mr. Magic. And later in the show, we have a veteran calling in, going to check in with us. His name is Granddaddy IU, and he's out here. He's out from here. He's from Long Island, Strong Island, wow, where I rest. So I'm always glad to have some Long Island representatives, plus a veteran dude. And, of course, y'all know him for his really at the time, was a, as far as I'm concerned, a smash hit, Something New.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
He's been yeah, that was my jam, man. Yeah. And he's been steady releasing material off and on throughout the years. Just got a new project out, and we love to make sure that the veterans who are still making quality product, because some of them aren't, but some of them are, and we want to make sure that we always extend you know, our platform to the OGs that are making music. Of course, speaking of OGs, we have a nice editorial that I scripted still floating around on birthplacemag.com, and a new editorial with me talking some ish about how they blamed rap music for the racist fraternity chants down in Oklahoma. So we'll talk about all that and more. Again, you give us a call. We're here for about, you know, an hour and a half, maybe, you know, hour and 45 minutes if we get to talking. Love to have your two cents. This is your show as much as it is ours. I'll talk all night, but I don't always want to. I want to hear from you guys. Give us a call, 646-378-1282. Anything we're talking about, or if you want to bring something to our attention, ask our opinion on something. Like, we pay attention to a lot of releases, but sometimes people are doing really good stuff and it flies under our radar. And if you want to kind of, without it being you, don't call me up and be like, you know, yo, did you hear about this guy? His name is Manny Face. My name is Benny Places, but I need you to check out my man. Like, don't do that. Don't fake it. But yeah, you know, call us up, 646-378-1282. What's good, Steve? How you been, man?
Good, man. You know, I was just watching this thing about Method Man, how he's, you know, he just hates the media, and, you know, they keep, like, interviewing him and just, like, kind of messing up when they interview him, so now he doesn't want to be interviewed by anybody.
Oh, you wait a minute. Let me get this straight. So, hip-hop media acted in a way that wasn't professional and journalistically accurate?
Well, it happens way too much for our, like, we've spoken on it, you know, dozens of times, but it's just, I just can't believe, I mean, I guess I can't believe that it still happens, but it's just like, you know, I mean, when you have a platform to be able to interview artists like Method Man, you know, why would you, you know, play games and you know, catch him on something he obviously, you know, knew nothing about.
Right, pull the okie doke.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, like he was saying, you know, the main purpose of the interview was for the cobbler. You know, the I think it's a some sort of production. It's either a movie or a show.
Right.
Coming out, and you know, there was like one line devoted to the cobbler saying, "Oh, you know, stay tuned for, you know, Method Man talking about blah blah blah." Yeah, and he's like, you know, the whole interview was that, and you know, they chose to focus on. You know, this thing, you know, on the 88 years for the album to come out, Once Upon a Time in Shaolin, which
the Wu Tang album.
Another joke, as it is. I mean, after, you know, I mean, the least they could do is give us the album for free after, you know, giving us Better Tomorrow, which kind of tanked. Kind of did.
Very much did. What do you think about it? Now, Steve, you're a longtime Wu fan. It's great that you bring this up. And, of course, if you guys have any commentary on this, love to hear what you guys think. 646-378-1282. Of course, the Wu-Tang Clan has released an album that's supposed to – I guess it's an artistic endeavor. It's supposed to be, like, treating it as art as opposed to a commercial product. It's an auction, and one person's going to buy it and own it, and they're not allowed to – copy it or let anyone record it. It's going to be this very secretive, very once in a life. I guess now on paper, it's an interesting idea because it does you know, treat it as if it's a painting, let's say. You know what I mean? You can only be one original painting, and that's something that should be passed around and only viewed. You know, I guess you take pictures of it, but you know, only if you view the painting in real life does it really have. What do you think? But then, like you said, Method Man thinks this is a stupid idea to begin with, and he's not really happy with the producer involved. What is your thoughts as a Wu fan? You just kind of said it, but elaborate on it. And if y'all have something to say on it, 646-378-1282. Y'all want to wait 88 years for a Wu-Tang Clan album? Wu fans, what's up?
I mean, as far as the album goes, you know, I like the idea that it's being treated as a piece of art. That's fine and dandy, but ultimately people want to hear the music that's on there. If you kind of want to, you know, want someone to buy it and let them decide how it's going to be distributed, I would think that whoever did buy it, you know, whether they pay $1 million for it, $5 million, or, you know, $50,000, if they buy it, I would, you know, hope that they would release the music in some format. You know, they would be prohibited from mass marketing it, you know, for 88 years. I think that's part of what that 88 years stipulates.
Right.
But they can give it away for free. So, you know, they can make it available for download. But, you know, if this is supposed to be the Holy Grail Wu-Tang album, then, you know, why would you, you know, dicking around with us, you know, with the Better Tomorrow? Mm. And then, you know, putting out a product that really doesn't live up to, you know, what the fans, I guess, you know, are really looking for. I mean, there was a few good tracks on the album, but, you know, you're thinking this is going to be an album where it kind of returns to the roots. You know, you got RZA producing, and then it just, it turns out to be, you know, something else where they're trying to make, you know, music that people just aren't, you know, feeling.
And then they make music that no one can listen to.
Exactly. You know, and I think they try to be a little, you know, too experimental with the sound, and, you know, I think you should just go with what works. You know, I feel like a lot of time artists try to evolve and try to experiment, but, you know, not everyone can do that.
Right.
You know, stick with what works. I think Ghostface Killah has made a long career out of, you know, sticking with what works. Raekwon the Chef, even Method Man to a certain extent. I mean, he hasn't been as productive as the others, but, you know, I think Method Man, you know, when he puts something out, he thinks about it. He thinks about what he wants to put out creatively and chooses the production accordingly. But,
right.
But, you know, anytime you put this Wu-Tang together, you know, as a group, there's a lot of egos. There's a lot of people that, you know, that you have to get agreement on as far as, you know, everyone wants to have input on the output of the group. And, you know, that I think the magic with the, you know, the entire group as a whole is gone. I mean, individually, I think, you know, there's still a lot of talent there. But as a group, I don't think Wu-Tang is, I think they're done.
It's interesting, man.
I mean, as a team, yeah, you know, the Wu-Tang. But as far as, you know, musically making more music, it's not going to happen anymore.
Well, there is that. Let's give Method Man his props, though. I mean, obviously, he spoke out against hip-hop journalism in the process and said, listen, you know, if you're going to, you know, take my words, if you're going to talk to me, let's do it in a professional manner. He was there to promote his Cobbler. The Cobbler is a movie. Let's do what XXL, right? It was XXL? Let's do what XXL didn't do and give people who are listening to the New York Hip-Hop Report a little – you know, 2 cents. Meth has always been trying to get into the acting world. He's done a couple of things. We posted some weird, like, short film he was in, like, some years ago, and I thought he did a great job, and I was like, yo, he really should get into more acting, not just the Meth and Red kind of, you know, how high type stuff. But we'll see. This is an Adam Sandler movie. It's a big production. It's coming out Friday, it's in theaters now. It's called The Cobbler. Now, I haven't seen a lot of advertising about it. It's Adam Sandler, but it's strange because, you know, you think Adam Sandler, big star power, you'd see a lot of, you know, Hollywood marketing and such. I really haven't seen a lot of it.
But it would help if XXL and, you know, would actually talk about it. So it could actually, you know, help Method Man, you know, get a few more people in the theaters, you know. And instead,
I have to say
it goes the other way, and look what happens. And, you know, no one gets to hear about it. The movie comes out, you know. What I mean, and XXL hits a lot of viewers. And they're not hearing the most important part of what Method Man's doing today. They want to hear about, you know, they want to write about the beef he has with, you know, the album, you know, coming out in 88 years and no one being able to listen to it. Of course,
well, I think you can hear
I'm hearing that for the very first time. You know,
I think you can hear it, but Well, let me just correct this. This chiming in on Facebook, commenting on my Facebook, Emperor Brooks says, you know, it can be heard but not commercialized. I get that. And I think we said that. We said that not mass marketed, not, you know, commercially released. So I guess it's up to the person who buys it. I know there was some original plan to, like, exhibit it, like, sort of in a museum setting where you
and
pay
you
admission. And
get
you
some headphones and listen to it.
Get some
Come
headphones.
On.
It's interesting. You know, we talked about it when the news first came out. But I think that it's maybe if you would look, what do we talk about all the time here? We say balance, man. If you're gonna do that kind of thing, then produce music that people can get. And not
yeah,
make it something
I mean,
that's so unattainable.
Such a super, you know, holy grail album. Release it to the public
right.
and sell it.
Right.
You probably
well,
get, you know, I mean, I think if you release this album now, you probably get people, you know, more people will buy this than they bought A Better Tomorrow. I can tell you that.
Well, I'll tell you one thing.
I'll guarantee it.
Yeah,
that
probably
if they release
so.
This album for commercial release, people will buy it more than they bought The Better Tomorrow.
But then it takes away from the art. I'm like, I get the idea. You know, I see what we're trying to do. Make it
this
something that seems like.
Music is
listen, hold on. Wait. We're supposed to be talking about Method Man's acting role. So we have to get. We can't do what they did at Double XL. We can't do the same. So anyway, first of all, his name's not Method Man in the movie. His name is Clifford Smith. He went under his actual moniker. You know, his name. He ditched his rap moniker for it. A la who else did that? I mean, I guess LL Cool J does that, right?
Does he?
Did
he
say LL Cool J, Todd
James
Smith?
Todd Smith.
Yeah.
I'd have to check that out. I know the Bow Wow is going by Shad Moss now, I guess his birthday.
Well, yeah, there is that. And, so, grown-ass man calling himself Bow Wow. I don't think you can do that too often.
What about Ice-T? So he's still doing that show?
I think he calls him. No, he's Law & Order. He's Ice-T. So anyway, Clifford Smith is doing it. He's check him out in The Cobbler. It's an Adam Sandler film. It's actually, he has a pretty big role in it. He's actually playing, I'm looking at Hip Hop DX article where they actually, well, let me see if they actually spoke to him. You know, Hip Hop DX likes to regurgitate other people's interviews, but this looked like it's a Hip Hop DX, you know, actual interview, so I'll give him props. And he's going to be on that playing more than one role. He's sort of playing two roles at once, or he's playing two characters. So it's kind of interesting. I'd like to see it. It's Adam Sandler. His movies can, you know, hit or miss. But shouts to Method Man for, you know, dipping his toe back into the acting world, and we could support him as we should. And yeah, hip hop media. I'm not even going to spend any time tonight talking about hip hop media because 99.9% of them are not worthy of our time anymore. They're simply vultures, and they're simply, you know, riding this game till the wheels fall off because there's nothing innovative happening in hip-hop journalism, except us, of course, I guess, and some others. I mean, you know, some others, but mostly not. So whatever, Double XL not doing him justice is not a surprise. So we'll keep it moving because we have so much to talk about that we need to spread the word about instead of, you know, reminding everybody how much better we are than everyone else. So, the New York Hip Hop Report every Sunday night, 10 p.m. to 11:30. My name is Manny Faces. Thanks for tuning in. If you're checking us out live, hold on one second. Say something, Steve.
Oh, no problem, man. So, yeah, Method Man and Media, that's old news. But the Brooklyn Hip Hop Festival this past week announced Common's going to be headlining, and that's great. I mean, I love Common, so for me that's awesome. But that was nice to hear that they're starting to announce their lineup. I guess the show it's in June this year, or it's always. I feel like it's always in June, maybe late June, early July, or is it? Well, anyway.
Yeah, I'm not sure the exact date. Common is officially going to be the headliner this year's Brooklyn Hip Hop Festival. Big year for Common, of course, picking up Grammys and Oscars, and next he'll be on Broadway getting a Tony, and you know, but that's a good look for Common. Common is a you know, I guess you know, he's had a long career as a Grammy nominee as well in the rap category this year. Long storied career. Brooklyn Hip Hop Festival does tend to pull out some really interesting headliners, and I'm actually excited to see Common. To be honest,
it's a great
with you,
show.
I've
seen him at the Nokia Theater, and he gave a great show there.
Right. So that's what's going to happen at the Brooklyn Hip Hop Festival. Of course, that's the first announcement, the Brooklyn Hip Hop Festival. Shouts to Brooklyn Bodega. Shouts to Wes Jackson. We usually have Wes Jackson on our show, actually, for the past, 3 years? We've had, for 3 years, we've had the director of the Brooklyn Hip Hop Festival call our show and talk about what's coming up with the Brooklyn Hip Hop Festival. So to get that Brooklyn Hip Hop Festival news, it really is a big event, and it's good for New York, and it's good for hip hop, and you should always participate. I know that sometimes people have been critical of the organization and the show itself and how some things go down, but I think that we've determined, Steve, over the past few years that despite some hiccups and bumps in the road,
yeah,
that the positives outweigh the negatives. You should support
always
this
lineup. Always a good lineup. I mean, look,
yeah,
Kendrick Lamar was there in 2011, Homeboy Sam.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Nitty Scott. That was the show, I think. Was that the De La Soul? That was the that was a Q-Tip show, actually, and Kanye West showed up.
Right.
I mean,
of course, Busta Rhymes, Leaders of the New School reunion that we witnessed. That was great. You know, old school stuff, new school stuff. I know that they've had some interesting performers.
Daddy Kane's performed in the past.
Yeah.
I mean, the lineup last year had some, you know, newer acts. And it's good, you know, good for New York. It's good to see, you know, things like that going on here. You know, like I said, ultimately the performers are what, you know, matter, and it's a good show.
It's always a good show. So shouts to the Brooklyn Hip Hop Festival. We'll be giving you updates as they become known to us. And, of course, I expect that once again this year we'll have somebody from the Brooklyn Bodega family to give us a call and give us the preview of the event. Another interesting thing happening, let's jump from Brooklyn to the Bronx. This was covered on birthplacemag.com. We talked about the upcoming show that has been greenlighted for Netflix by Baz Luhrmann. Baz Luhrmann has a show coming out on Netflix. So you know how Netflix is doing these these original series.
Yeah, is that what this is going to be? Like an original series type thing?
An original series. Baz Luhrmann is actually a big dog in Hollywood. And he's an Australian cat, but he's done Moulin Rouge.
Musical, yeah.
So he's done some big
Romeo
productions.
And Juliet.
Romeo and Juliet. So he's a big dog, and what he's gotten with Netflix is an interesting concept. It's it's called The Get Down, and it's set in early 1970s Bronx, and it's focusing on sort of the culture and the music, and so we're talking about like the early days of hip hop. What else was, I mean, there was so many things going on, the politics of the Bronx is burning, New York City, you know, being, you know, turning their back on the Bronx.
Yeah.
All that stuff
Bronx
that was going on.
Bronx was a, you know, a tough place. I grew up in the Bronx in the 70s and 80s, and it's a tough place to be, but, you know, it made me the person that I am today, and, you know, I always loved the Bronx, and I currently live there, and, you know, this movie, just in the clip, it was like, you know, probably like a 18-second clip. You know, I'm interested.
Yeah, no, it's supposed to be really interesting. There's a lot could be done with this. There's a lot could be gotten wrong from this. What I understand is, you know, this guy is kind of really interested in the authenticity of it and has reached out to people who were, in the Bronx during these times, really trying to get the wide scope of the multiple influences that were all coalescing at the time. Again, the show's called The Get Down. I bring this up because we had put on birthplacemag.com that one of the things they were doing was casting, and they were casting for the show African-American and Latino, Hispanic men and women age 18 to 21. But more specifically, Luhrmann is on the lookout for real Bronx residents. So that was something that they specifically said. Matter of fact, he was quoted as saying, nothing would make everyone involved in The Get Down more thrilled than to find cast members from the Bronx itself. So you had to put together a demo reel. Maybe you have one already if you're an artist or a poet or an actor or an actress. You have a monologue. You need to compose a demo reel that includes an introduction, a short dance, or a story about the actor or actress, a song, a rap, or a poem, something that shows, you know, what you do. And submit it. Initially, this was, I forget the original, March 10th was the deadline. We published it like a couple days before that on birthplacemag.com. The deadline was extended to March 17th. So 2 days. You got 2 days, and I'm not even sure if it's like you got to get in by the 17th. So really, you only have till tomorrow. So it's last minute, but if you've been paying attention to Birthplace Mag, you would have seen it. But I just wanted to put it out there one more time. There's a last minute chance to audition for the Netflix original series from esteemed director Baz Luhrmann. It's called The Get Down, and it's about the Bronx in the 1970s. Audition information is available at birthplacemag.com. Sounds really interesting, and I hope they get it right.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, we'll see. That's all I can say. But I like that. I like that they're going in the direction of, you know, hiring authentic Bronx residents, and I'm hopeful they'll get it right.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Shouts to people who make films about hip hop. Oh, real quick. Hey, what up, Nat Crew? Nat Crew in the chat room. How are you, darling?
Oh, hey, what's up?
And just another thing on birthplacemag.com. Just a quick shout out to the big homie M2ME Gant. We had a great interview with him about his upcoming short film. We know how to pick them, man. I'm telling you, M2ME Gant has a short film coming out called Spit. And his, we did a great interview with him. Shouts to our one of our contributing writers, Andrea, who Kripelka, who wrote up a great interview with him. And Spit has been picked up. His short film, which he had done we had him on this show as well, if you recall, a bunch of episodes ago. We had M2ME Gant on the show to talk. Also goes by the name Core Rhythm in New York City indie hip-hop scene. And Spit, the movie, has been picked up to be part of the New Voices in African-American Film at the BAM Cinematheque series. So we want to make sure that people know about that. So swing on over to, I'm just trying to get the website up as I speak to you guys. He's an independent cat from New York City. He's been a hip-hop head for a long time. He's put together a really good film, and I really want you guys to pay attention to it. I guess it's spitthefilm.com. Spitthefilm.com. And, of course, our interview with M2ME Gant, the writer and director of that film, on birthplacemag.com. And then on that story, you'll also link back to our interview with him on this show, New Voices in Black Cinema, Sunday, March 29th at BAM in Brooklyn. Spit will be part of this year's New Voices in Black Cinema Festival at BAM Cinematheque. They'll be screened against some of the short films. So it's Sunday. They do like a three-day festival kind of thing. It's the short films day. So it's Sunday, March 29th. Filming, it's airing at 4:30 p.m. You can get more information at spitthefilm.com. Just wanted to circle back and give props to that young brother who is doing a great job in the independent film landscape, and it has to do with hip-hop, and shouts to him. So there's a couple of things for those who are interested in. Again, we're going to tell you about hip-hop, but we're not going to just talk about what's on the radio. Like, there's a lot of people spend a lot of time talking about what's on the radio, for good or for bad, whether you like it or not. And there's a whole lot more to talk about when it comes to hip-hop, and that's just in New York City. So make sure you check us out. This is the New York Hip-Hop Report. We're here every Sunday night from 10 p.m. to about 11:30. Brought to you again by the number one website for New York hip-hop, Birthplace Magazine, birthplacemag.com. My name is Manny Faces. His name is Steve Ortiz, and we welcome you to the show. If you're listening for the first time, we thank you. Give us a call. We really want your 2 cents. If you got something to say about something we're saying about, we're talking about, hit us up, 646-378-1282. It's Sports Talk Radio. Once again, Ace of Spades, DJ extraordinaire on a check-in. He's checking this show out tonight. Natalie Crew is checking this show out, of course, live and direct. Whoever else is checking us out, hit us on Twitter at nyhiphopreport.com. A little bit later, we're going to hear from a veteran in the game, one of my favorites, actually. I mean, from kind of like the golden era, the late 80s. I'm not sure when exactly it came out, but Granddaddy IU is going to check in with us. OG in the game, still putting out good stuff. We have a clip from a song from his new album, Pimp. It's P-I-M-P. Paper is my priority. Just when you thought he was going to go pimping with it, he brought it back to, listen, I'm trying to make money, and money is important, and I'm going to make it my priority, and we're going to find out what's behind the name of his new album, P-I-M-P. Paper is my priority. We got a song from him, and we're going to hear from him in just a few minutes. Granddaddy IU on a check-in in just a few.
I didn't know he was from L.I. I was like, man, a lot of talent coming out. Who was from LA last week? I felt like the last show we had someone on from LA. We're like, man, it's like all this talent, and everyone's from Long Island.
Yeah, who did we talk about? Well, Long Island is a big hotbed for hip hop history, man. We talked about it in the past. Like, I mean, obviously, you know, the God MC, Rakim is from out here. De La Soul's from out here. You know, Method, we talked about Method Man tonight. He spent a little time in Long Island. Biz Markie is from Long Island. Keith Murray is from Long Island. Geez, you know, so that's like a lot of Chuck D, Public Enemy, Flavor Flav, they're from Long Island. Rock Marciano, if you want to talk about some cats that are still doing music now, I mean, Rock Marciano's from Long Island. We got some other bubbler, R.A. the Rugged Man is from Long Island. You got some real good talent from, you know, that have emerged from just a bit.
Did you ever see Granddaddy when you were younger?
Nah, man, I never saw him. I mean, yeah. You know, Hempstead, I grew up in Westbury, Long Island, so, you know, Hempstead is where he's from. Shouts to Hempstead. I got some people out in Hempstead. Spent some time out in Hempstead. Little rivalry between Westbury and Hempstead back in the days. Like, you know, don't think on Long Island everything is sweet. People think it's sweet out here. It's not all daisies and lawns. You know what I mean? Sometimes we have beef. I remember a bunch of Hempstead cats and Westbury cats rumbled up at Roosevelt Field Mall. You know what I mean? Razors cut it out. It's crazy. I was there. It was crazy. I didn't want to be involved in that. I was a nice guy that wanted to do music and go back to my studio. I wasn't trying to hear all that. But we had beef with Hempstead at some points. But yeah, Hempstead not too far away. And I never saw him perform or rock out here. Granddad, are you a member at one point or an affiliate, if not a member, of the legendary Juice Crew? Was down with Biz Markie. Biz Markie gave him pretty much that break. And that Something New song, which everybody knows, if you're a hip-hop head from, you know, any time ago, was really quite the jam. A great, one of my favorite samples in hip-hop production, to be honest with you. So we'll talk to Granddaddy IU in a little bit. Got some new stuff coming out. And, you know, from the old to the new, we love to make sure that we get everybody into the mix.
What'd you think of that Blurred Lines lawsuit being settled in favor of the Marvin Gaye family?
It's interesting. I mean, it. So for those that, I mean, most people have been all over Facebook, you know, kind of know what's going on. You know, the Blurred Lines song was sued by Pharrell and Robin Thicke were sued by the estate of Marvin Gaye for saying that it sounds too much like Got to Give It Up. And there are definite similarities to it. Pharrell actually went on like an interview early on and said, you know, I had that song in mind when I made this song, so I don't think that helped his case much.
Yeah, really.
But I don't have a strong opinion on it. I'm actually really torn, but I've seen people on both sides with their strong opinions on it saying it's actually a bad precedent for music. Everything is influenced by something else, and if you're able to find some kind of correlation between musics now, you're really going to stifle the natural, organic flow
agree,
of music.
Man, I don't agree. If
but
you,
some
if
people will say
a song that and, sounds and like some, the original song, even if you made it, you know, not sampling it at all and creating it on your own, it still sounds too much like it that you have to give some sort of credit, and that's what they failed to do. I mean, if they would have attributed it, said, you know, contains an interpolation or contains elements, and then arranged with the family before the thing came out. You know, and they didn't, you know, necessarily have to because they didn't infringe, supposedly. But
right, right.
You should have did it anyway.
I think that that's part of
it. But they thought
the,
it was going to slide.
Yeah, no, I think that that's, you know, then, probably they figured they'd get away with it or that they thought that they. It comes down to are you going to be greedy when dealing with, you know, this music business? I mean, it's such a business. It's so many legalities. Like, we sit back as fans and we sit back as, I mean, we're kind of into it, but the people don't have any idea, like, all the behind the scenes stuff. They really just want to listen to music and enjoy it. Either one of these guys had enough money and knew that song was going to, you know, do so well that they could have done whatever they needed to do ahead of time. Plenty of artists do that. They, you know, they share, you know, writing credits. They, you know, they talk it out ahead of time. I remember this was such a stupid anecdote. I was, you know, nobody. I was in a rap group. When I used to spit years and years and years ago, I was with a cat named my man Sheldon from Bushwick, out in Bushwick. And we had a little rap group, you know, me and him, and I was doing some production.
What was your rap group? Who?
At the time, I was probably schizophrenic. I used to go as schizophrenic.
Yeah. Schizophrenic,
and then,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, listen, there's some stuff out there. But eventually I ended up in, you know, I'll forget the other names. But and it was a two-man crew, and we We wanted to sample Sexual Healing, first of all, which, like, right, some, like, nobodies from New York are going to sample Sexual Healing for that. But and it was another song I had done that was actually supposed to be, I sampled Cheryl Lynn's To Be Real, but it was, like, not the normal part, like, it was a little piece. And we actually, as nobodies with no record label, no, we had managers, and that was it. And we asked to clear the samples. But, like, and we weren't going to make any money. We weren't going to sell anything. But we still went through those routes. You know what I mean? And it's like, damn, when you talk about billions and millions, millions of dollars at stake, you know, at what point does the greed come to be too much? Is it a greed thing? Like, I think that you're right. They should have gone through the right channels and done the right thing from the beginning. Then again, like I said, the other side of it is it wasn't exactly an interpolation. It certainly wasn't sampled. It was a modification of an interpolation. And you're getting modification of an interpretation. So
yeah,
how
that's
far?
What they were trying to argue.
How many time degrees? I should have been a lawyer, right? But that's just a modification of an interpretation. So I think that it was pretty close, and I think that there should have been some kind of bar set. But I think it does still, and some people will say, set a dangerous precedent because it lets things be a little bit too subjective, and a lot of music is influenced by
other
music.
They could have settled it. These guys could have settled it, and they chose not. They thought that, you know, I don't know how they thought they were going to win, especially with Robin Thicke not even knowing the damn story because he was stoned. He's like, oh, I didn't even write it, but they gave me writing credit, and I really wanted writing credit for it. But, I mean, really? Like, this is, I mean, the jury, after That's probably funny. Hearing him speak, probably said, these guys are out of control.
Yeah, they need to be put down. Well, listen, you have to know what you're talking about. And you know what? The moral of the story is don't talk in interviews if you're doing something shady. Shouts to Robert Durst. You watch that Jinx on HBO?
No.
Shouts to Robert Durst. Bobby Durst. That show is crazy, the Jinx. Shouts to my folks who watch the Jinx. Anyway, let's keep it moving. Tonight, once again, we are bringing to you Granddaddy IU just a few little minutes away from now. And we kicked it with you about a few things. I want to really quickly give a birthday shout-out to the late, great Mr. Magic. Of course, Mr. Magic is a New York hip-hop icon. He's a radio legend, a pioneer. He's I think he's the first to have ever had a hip-hop mix show on the air. Just an early advocate and pioneer of hip-hop music on the radio. Shouts to Bernadette, our contributing writer, executive editor, Bernadette Giacomazzo, has put a wonderful tribute together for Mr. Magic up on Birthplace Magazine, birthplacemag.com. And we remember Mr. Magic as a New York hip-hop icon and a radio legend on his what would have been his birthday. Passed away a few years ago, heart attack. But Mr. Magic really, along with Molly Mall on WBLS, and his counterpart, the yin to their yang, DJ Red Alert on Kiss FM.
Yeah.
Really, really, that whole rivalry, that bringing new artists to the scene, breaking records.
They were breaking records. I mean, Mr. Magic was breaking records.
Absolutely.
And it was just, you know, it was amazing to hear the records being broken, you know, the classics that, you know, withstood the test of time, you know, were premiered on these shows. And, you know, for the time that it came out, you know, you only had, you know, it was usually on the weekend when, the, you know, Mr. Magic came on late at night. And, you know, you had to be there or be square, you know, and I was over there ready with my cassette tapes, and just, if I didn't have my cassette tapes, I was just listening, and I was just like, wow, you know, I love this music, and I can't wait till next week till I can, you know, hear some more.
Yeah, man, it was really the golden era of rap radio, you know, and of course, any rap radio
that was it, man.
Since, you know, it was pioneered by these gentlemen who were really taking the sounds from the streets and the artists that were coming up in this game and doing something different. There had been rap for a while. You couldn't find rap on the radio. Yeah, I tell people now when they complain about the state of hip-hop today or rap music and they say, oh, you know, I don't like what's on the radio. I was arguing with somebody about something on Facebook, as I tend to do, and someone says 90% of hip-hop is garbage or whatever, and I'm like, I'm not sure what you listen to, because the the rap that I listen to, and that includes what's on the radio. I listen to Hot 97. I listen to Power 105 often, and I like some of the stuff that comes out today. I'm not going to lie to you. Like, I think that too many cats who are, you know, looking for something just tune out, and they hate everything. And, there's some good stuff that comes out today, even if it's not great from an artistic standpoint. You know what I mean? Sometimes we want to just listen to music and be in a club and have fun and dance and whatever, shake your ass, whatever it is. There's a lot of great music for that nowadays. Like, it doesn't have to always have a message. And we've joked about it before. I said, I absolutely listen to Immortal Technique, but when I'm in a club, I'm not trying to hear Immortal Technique. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm for different reasons at different times.
Yeah,
but
sure.
I tell people, like, I don't know what you're listening to, but the 90% of what I listen to isn't garbage, because I listen to way more than what's on the radio. And I remind people that you had to make an effort to find hip-hop back in the days. Mr. Magic Marley Mall on BLS, Red Alert on Kiss FM, from, like, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m.
Yeah.
on Fridays and Saturdays. Like, you had to be there. And it wasn't like you couldn't download the podcast. You couldn't.
No,
you had to be
that.
There with a cassette tape ready.
You had to either be there or
you had to record it.
Yeah, you had to record it. Or if you weren't listening to the music on the radio, you had to be physically at the club, at a club, to listen to the records being spun. Or you had to go to the record store to buy the I mean, the internet really, I think, killed radio. Mainstream radio.
Well, it did, and it also, but it opened up the doors for independent radio.
No, it did.
But those doors are too big, yeah. As we've talked about before.
But it killed regular radio as we knew it, radio that, we turned to for new music, that, that was
right,
our only source if we weren't buying records or in the club,
yeah,
or, whatever else. That was our source for, MTV initially but you had the local shows like New York Hot Tracks, Friday Night Videos, Video Music Box.
Yes. Well, that's what I think that a lot of people who, older heads and some newer heads, because, we talked about a lot of young. Listen, there's an incredible amount of young heads. Look at birthplacemag.com. We did a roundup of recent rap releases from New York artists. I mean, these are young cats that are doing good music and have a bunch of young fans. Rat King. Shouts to Rat King. Shouts to Heems from Das Racist, however you pronounce it, I always forget. And I know there's a particular way to do it, and I always get it wrong. You know what I mean? Shouts to Flatbush Zombies. Shouts to even Joey Badass, which barely gets some airplay, only because Funk Flex is doing some business with them. Otherwise, he wouldn't play it either, because, he'll only play what he's doing business with. You know what I mean? Action Bronson. I've gone to their shows. I've seen the crowds. These are not old folks. But these are songs and music and artists that aren't on the radio. So when we talk, don't get it twisted. I know that I'm an old school head, but I don't want people listening to the show thinking that we're only advocating the old school vibe. There are some plenty of new artists that are doing really phenomenal progressive hip-hop music that aren't on the radio also. So when we talk about how you got to go look for this, we don't just mean the older heads that are trying to find some stuff that'll make them feel good, remind them of the 90s or whatever, because you could find that. Again, Joey Badass is doing some stuff like that. As a matter of fact, the YC the Cynic is the Joey Badass before the Joey Badass. I'm going to shout him out all the time. YC just went from the Bronx, young artist from the Bronx, featured him a million times. Love what he's doing. Co-signed him 1,000%. Just went through surgery. Get well soon, brother. Love this young brother and what he's about. YC the Cynic is always my pick.
Yeah, YC Cynic came out in the 90s, he would have gotten, a deal. He would have released a few albums.
Right, and now he's got that. He's got a flow, and don't get me wrong, it's not dated. It doesn't sound dated, but he has a flow that he has a style that's reminiscent of that, and he's working on his craft, and he's 21 years old, 22. So, again, young artists, we're not old fogies, where we're not, that's the problem, is too many of the old heads turn their back on a new head, and they'll listen to the radio and hear something that they don't like, assume that the entire new generation is like that, and then they don't give respect due to the newer cats that are putting in that work. We had the exact same problem when you saw these mainstream news heads talk about how rap music is to blame for the racist chants of the Oklahoma fraternity students on the news. Now, that's ridiculous. Check my editorial and response on birthplacemag.com. I took them to task. I called them bigots. I said that MSNBC is promoting corporate-sponsored bigotry, because when you talk about rap music and you only talk about that tiny sliver of rap music that is, I don't know, negative or containing misogynistic themes or whatever, you're not giving the full side of the story. So I'm going to call you out.
Again, journalists that are supposed to be credible on a credible network, you know, being not credible.
and then the spillover is to all the people that are listening to them, clap it up, and they say, yeah, hip-hop, rap music sucks. There's too much N-word. There's too much F-word. Yeah, you're right. But they're not right. We're talking about the mainstream aspect of things, but no one ever makes the distinction that there's more than just the mainstream. And so I told them, shut up. I said, if you're not going to talk about it correctly, you don't have the right to speak as a news personality or put yourself out there as a pundit. You really don't have the right to speak about it, because you're insulting an entire culture, an entire community, and an entire artistic community that you wouldn't dare do that if it was another group of people. But somehow or another, they figure they can get away with it. They can do it because nobody's standing up for rap / hip-hop as a community, as a culture, as a constituency. We do that here, but so few do. And you know what? That's why hip-hop media sucks, because they'd rather misquote Method Man than republish, you know, my editorial, or go at them themselves, or do something that stands up for the culture that made them their money. You know what I mean? So that's well, there it is. There's my rant for the week. But check out my editorial on it. It is on birthplacemag.com. It says, morning, Joe. Nice day to be a bigot. Why pundits shouldn't discuss rap. And, of course, right after that was a New York Rap Roundup. We have new music from Rat King. We have new music from Heems. New music from Saga. New music from Rock Marciano. New video from Cavalier. A really great, great video from Cavalier. Check that out. It's called East Coast Medina. Shouts to Cavalier. Does really creative work.
I saw that.
Isn't that a beautiful video, man?
Yeah. It's like some meditation, trippy kind of. I'm really liking it.
What? And it's just a really cool, I mean, just a cool vibe. Cavalier does incredible creative work. I want to get him on the show. He's a friend of ours. We never had him on the show. We got to talk to him. And so that's all on the new New York Rap Roundup, published a couple of days ago. And, of course, on there as well, new music from our next guest as well. So check all that out. And, of course, the latest post that we put up today, we remember Mr. Magic, New York hip-hop icon and radio legend, on what would have been his birthday. So that's what it is, and that's what it was. This is the New York Hip Hop Report with Manny Faces and Steve Ortiz. Once again, we're here every Sunday night, 10 p.m. to 11:30, give or take. And we bring you all kind of stuff about New York area hip hop music and culture. Give us a call if you want to give your two cents, 646-378-1282. Once again, shouts to DJ Ace of Spades on a check-in. Nat Crew is hanging with us. Who says that Soulja Boy is greater than Mr. Magic? You're silly. So that's what's going on. We got shouts to Hired Gun and the folks over at We Are Boss Level 1 year anniversary going on right now. We understand some of our people can't listen to us live because they're at events and all that, but we also love you for checking in the archive. All of our shows are archived at nyhiphopreport.com. It's 117 episodes of this weekly show, so you know we've been doing this for some time. So check us out. There's also a mailing list and Check us out there, nyhiphopreport.com. So, Steve, I guess we're ready to go.
Yes.
Bringing you tonight a special guest who's calling in. We mentioned him earlier in the show. Brother's an OG in the game and still doing really remarkable music. We often call out some people that did music a long time ago that aren't doing music that's very good today. But I enjoy what he's been bringing to the table for the last few years, and especially his new project. So we wanted to make sure we had him on and kick it to you guys as well. Y'all might know him for this.
premiere. Crystal clear in your ear, so listen here. Yeah, it's something new, but I ain't no new kid. So don't fool yourself with garbage that you did.
This is what he's coming with next.
Yeah. Check it, where I'm from, the hallways always busy. Girls skate like Missy, one straight from the AK, you make your ass history. Jake Pussy, but the burner's in my bitch purse. So I disperse before the situation gets worse. I seen niggas get knocked on a humbug. Police put 32 bullets in some thug. Thugs be ringing out the slug. We ringing out from the place where Jake and Alicia Keys sang about.
Yeah, that's a clip of My Neck of the Woods. From the new project, PIMP, Paper Is My Priority, none other than Mr. Granddaddy IU on a check-in.
What up, yo?
Hey, what up,
how
man?
You feeling?
Chilling, man. Feeling
yo,
good.
It's great to have you on the show, man. Really an honor. You know, I played the you know the song you're probably best known for, but you know that was I still got it on vinyl, man. I'm an old head DJ. I'm from Westbury, Long Island, so you know.
Oh, word. That's what's up.
You know, so we were watching you do your thing, man, and it's really an honor to have you on here, and you know, really interesting to hear your new project and that you've been still you know doing things, and I alluded to it in the beginning in the intro. I said you know a lot of cats from a certain era don't necessarily continue with the whole vibe as well as they once did. You seem to be really, you know, staying on top of the game and doing it right. Is that a conscious thing? Do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, like, I always was into music. So, like, even if I don't have a record deal or whatever, I'm still going to make music because that's what I do.
Right.
So if you're on it like that, then you always going to be on top of your game. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You can't just leave for like X amount of years, think you can just come back and do it. Nah.
Right. You try to come back and
nah, it's not like riding a bike.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
I feel you on that. So for those that, you know, we have a whole wide range of cats who might know you from before, might be just discovering you now. You know, you do go back to the kind of the, I guess, the golden era A's, the Juice Crew days. You were an affiliate of the Juice Crew, is that correct?
I was trying to sign a Cold Chillin'.
Indeed. So now you came up around that era, man. What was it? Just, you know, real quick history, like where you came up, and I think Biz put you on. Like, how did your whole emergence into the business jump off from the beginning, for those who don't know?
It was kind of by accident, you know what I'm saying, because Biz had a five-artist production deal, and he happened to be friends with a cat from my town. I'm from Hempstead. And, you know, I was always able to do it, but I never took it serious. But, you know, the dude was like, yo, my man is nice, you know what I'm saying? Because he's like scrambling for the next two artists, and so like shit just happened like that. So
Now Biz also from Long Island, had some Long Island roots.
Yeah, I think he's from Quorum or some shit like that.
Right. Indeed,
like,
indeed.
Like that, yeah, like Suffolk County, like
so
far
was
out.
So was it something new that kind of really broke you out on your own? And first of all, it's one of my favorite samples in hip-hop history, and I didn't even check. I should have checked ahead of time. Who produced the joint?
It was me and my brother.
A word?
Yeah, me and my brother did the whole album except one joint.
Okay, I wasn't quite sure. And actually, I still got the 45. I'm Your Puppet, man. I got that.
that was
a good joint. Now, that popped off. That got you really, like, as any other song in that day and age, you know, right up there at that level. But things didn't always go according to plan. What kind of happened a little bit after that?
Basically, like, it was like I switched my whole shit up after that first album because everybody was saying that for some reason it was like, oh, this nigga sound like Rakim. And I just got tired of that shit. So I switched my sound up, and that shit really was not the formula for me. But then after that, you know what I'm saying, my record label, Cold Chillin', had this. They folded. They went under, and so
right.
It was like, oh damn.
did you ever try to make moves to try to like sign with someone else, or was it just a matter of you kind of said, you know what, what you end up doing?
I didn't even know that I could at that time. We didn't even know like the artists on the label didn't know that they was fucked up until like 4 years later. As soon as I found out, you know what I'm saying, I started making moves or whatever. Like, I was producing for certain other artists and stuff like that, but, you know.
Nothing really popped off on a grand scale after that? Were you still kind of making, I don't say making a living doing music, or were you just kind of doing other things?
Nah, I was doing other things, but, you know, like back then, like when you, I was selling beats, so you sell a beat for $5,000, $10,000, but at that time, like right now, niggas are selling beats on online for $10. Like, yeah,
right.
That shit crazy, oh, but, right. You know, back then, that's why, you know what I'm saying, that's why I was able to stay afloat, you know what I'm saying, on the production.
Right.
How has the internet changed for you? How is the... I mean, you know, the time you came up, you had to put things out on wax, cassette CDs. Now you have more control over distribution. How has that benefited you today versus the way, you know, you did things back in the, you know, the 90s?
Well, right now, like, you know what I'm saying, I did a couple of projects with, like, the digital shit. And it's like, okay, whatever. But, like, I noticed that niggas still want that physical. They still want that hard copy. So for this album, I pressed up my own hard copies and sold to the distributor. You know what I'm saying? So it's like I'm really, really on some real indie shit right now. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
I get all the money. So I'm not complaining about nothing.
And you know, I often talk to, you know, we've talked to a bunch of, you know, indie artists. Either maybe they're just starting out, or they've been doing something kind of bubbling for a long time, or they're like, you had some major label success, but now it's coming back around to do something. It's actually not a bad time to be an independent artist if you got your business right, if you understand how to make it happen. You can make a living doing this, because you, like you said, you keep all the money. It's just a matter of putting it out there the right way, correct?
You got to have a promotion, man. You got to get it out there, because if motherfuckers don't know, you know what I'm saying, you'd be sitting on a whole bunch of motherfucking
bunch of songs and no one coming up.
Your fucking basement filled up with motherfucking CDs for no reason. You know what I mean?
Because that's the thing. There's so much out there. You got to find a way to stand out above the rest, you know?
Yeah.
So putting out this project just dropped very, very recently. How's it been? How's the response been? How difficult is it? Let's be real. How difficult is it finding ways to promote and stand above? Or do you find that, you know, you put out good music and the rest kind of follows? How difficult is it?
Like for me, just because, you know what I'm saying, I got my certain following from when I had the major, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a little bit easier for me, but it's still hard, you know what I'm saying? I ain't gonna front. Like, you got to get it out there.
Right.
The game, the shit is saturated with a whole bunch of monkey shit that, you know what I mean? And you gotta find that audience that really is tuned into that real hip-hop. Because you can't, like, I already know, like, I'm not going for radio because I don't make radio music, you know what I'm saying?
Right,
you
got
to make some, like, that monkey shit, you know what I'm saying? I ain't doing that. I'm from New York. We birthed this shit, you know what I'm saying? I'm not following... trying to sound like I'm from fucking Atlanta or some other kind of crazy shit. Not the this day shit, you know, but that's not our shit. Our shit, we from New York. We have a certain sound. As long as you stick to that sound and you got your following, you know what I'm saying, you good bread. So.
Yeah, no, I mean, we've been talking about this for a long time. You know, our Birthplace magazine, which represents only New York hip-hop, started 5-6 years ago when everyone said, whatever, y'all are done. Y'all are done. New York is done. Out. You're done.
The sound, the sound is not there no more.
And we said, listen,
but
we're still...
it is there. You got to look for it.
Right, indeed. And now, I think, like I say, it's a good time because there's really been that resurgence, I guess you say, and like renaissance, where you have some younger cats that have come out of Joey Badasses and the, you know, Action Bronsons, and they're bringing.
Yeah.
And so people are saying, oh, we still like this sound. And so it's you got artists from both ends of the spectrum, a little bit older or been in the game for a minute, like yourself, young cats, all kind of doing music that sort of sounds like New York. Doesn't sound old. Like, your stuff doesn't sound dated. It's like an updated version of.
Right.
Yeah.
As long as you can keep that sound, man, like, it got to come back regardless, man. It's going to come back.
Right.
It's taking a long ass time, but it's going to come back.
Well, like you said, it's always been here. I think they're just starting to pay attention that it's still here and still, you know, doing well. So we're talking with Granddaddy IU. You still represent Long Island? You still out on the island?
Long Island. Yes, sir.
That's what it is. That's what it is. Strong Island, Long Island, where I rest. Paper is my priority. My daughter lives in Hempstead, so just it's all good. Paper is my priority. The album's called Pimp. Paper is my priority. It's interesting because, you know, you see the word pimp, you think one thing, and then you see the acronym and what it spells out. What's the thought process and what's the theme of the album?
It's like, you know, like I said, I'm on independent shit right now. So, you know what I'm saying? I got to get this motherfucking paper because, like, I've been in the game like 25 years. My first album was 1990, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And motherfuckers wasn't getting this money like these niggas get right now, but it still could be done. So I'm trying to show niggas, like, you know what I'm saying, with this album here, you can go independent and still get your paper. And that's what I'm going to do. So, you know what I'm saying? Everything, if it ain't about no money, man, fuck are you calling me for? Right now.
You producing right. all your stuff now? Or you got
the majority. I did like 85% of the album, or maybe more than that. Like I think four joints I didn't do. You know what I'm saying? Big up to T1 and my man Blunt and Marco Polo. Did a couple of joints on there. Yeah. Other than that, it's all me, man. It always been.
Yeah, man. I heard this track, Marco, the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly from Self-Made Man. That track is banging.
That's me.
Yeah, and that was what? That was 2012, I believe, you released that.
I think so, hot, yeah. Man. Yeah, good looking, you know. Yeah, I always did my production, man. That's what I do.
That's a good thing.
I don't know that.
I mean, a lot of artists, you know, sometimes you have, Homeboy Salmon, he'll release a project with one producer. Other artists will release, you know, with multiple producers. Me, I always feel like one producer, whether it's the artist themselves or, you know, just one producer, but I feel that makes for a more cohesive album versus, you know, having mad producers on the album, features, like, you know, on every single track. It's just the album becomes too cluttered, and it feels more like a mixtape or a compilation
versus
an actual album.
Yeah.
You feel the same way you feel the same way about features? Like, I don't know, I can't, I listen to most of it. Do you have any features on this album?
Yeah, I got a couple, like my man Don Black, because that's the artist that I'm working with, you know what I'm saying? I got Sadat X, that's, you know what I'm saying, that's the homie.
Nice.
Pick up to him too, you know what I mean? On She Said.
Oh right, okay.
But yeah, I don't do all that fucking
features.
If it's my album, it's goddamn it gotta be me.
Yeah, like I wanna listen to you, I don't wanna listen to all these other cats, like really?
Yeah, niggas got 100 features and shit.
Features
you know
on every track and I'm like, oh my god, are you serious?
Yeah, so you don't know who else. Like when it listens to the radio, you don't know whose song it is because
especially for, you know, new artists. If I don't know who you are and you got four other cats on the track, how I'm gonna know who is who?
Exactly.
Yeah. That's what's up.
They do.
What about performances and such? You've been, you know, hitting the stages again. I think, you know, I was
I have not done the show in a minute now. You know, like maybe a whole year might have been.
You got a lot of cats who are, you know, who are touring that, you know, again, you know, that were, you know, had that commercial success around the time you did. They're maybe back out there. Some of them are dropping. But, you know, there's touring. There's opportunities out there. You got your eyes set on getting back on the road, or is it just kind
I would love it. You know what I'm saying? So I go out there and tear some niggas' ass up. You know what I mean?
That's what's up. We have to talk to some of our promoter friends and say, listen, this guy's raring to go.
If you got the plug, man, plug me in.
That's what it is. Heard up. Let me ask you a question. On the image of the cover of your album, rest in peace, Ricky Lewis.
Yeah.
Who's Ricky Lewis?
That's my man, Easy Rick the Player. If you know about my first album, he's a nigga that was talking on there, like on certain joints, like even on something new, he's like, that's rap, chip it, platinum. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, okay.
He's
all
nigga,
right.
Like he was, but he was like my mentor, like in the street, you know what I'm saying? Like, cause he was an old head. So he showed me a lot of street shit and gave me a lot of game, you know what I'm saying? But every time you see him, every day he had a suit on. No matter what he was doing, a nigga be playing basketball with a motherfucking suit on. Or shooting CeeLo on the corner, you know what I'm saying? With a goddamn suit on.
Right.
He was from that era, you know what I'm saying? Like I said, he was an older head. So when I came out, I got my record deal. He was like, "Yo, so how you gonna come out?" I was like I always do. He's like, "Nah, man, you gotta wear the suit, and you know what I'm saying? Like you on some smooth assassin type shit."
Right.
And so, you know, I listened to him, and that's what it was.
That's definitely what it was, and it was something that wasn't everybody doing. And it harkens back to that era, like you said. Even though people criticize you from, like you said, out of your mouth, you said, you know, criticize you for sounding like Rakim. I mean, didn't EPMD say the same thing? They said that they sound like the. Did everybody sound like Ra? You know what I mean?
But, the funny shit was like when Rakim came out with this with Check Out My Melody. I was in right. jail at the time, and I called my man. My man was like, "Yo, I just heard this shit on the radio sound just like you." I'm like, "It ain't me, nigga. I'm sitting in jail. What are you talking about?" But you know what I'm saying? It just so happened like he came out before me. So right. whoever found that similarity or whatever he said, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. That was just by coincidence. That was just what they was hearing. But I took that shit like so to heart, like. And just switched my whole shit up, and saying like I said, yeah, sure, I right. the formula.
No, hey, I never really got that. I never really looked at what you were coming out with as being Rakim similar. Literally from a few miles away. So I guess there might have been. I don't even know. I can't even see like there's some kind of influence there or whatever. But I never really made that connection. And I guess you switching styles and then coming back to your original style and now. Again, some odd years later, it actually works better for you that you never really veered too far from who you are as a person.
Yeah,
you also,
I'm in my lane right now.
I got you. It sounds like it too. I mean, you really sound like you're comfortable in the joint that my neck of the woods. You know, you're telling a story. You're speaking about, representing New York. You know, on a grander scale, but it's very. I use the word listenable. Like you catch attention.
Yeah.
It sounds like you're right in the pocket. You sound comfortable.
Yeah. Okay.
Is it you got dude like some of us and such family man as well. You got to balance family and work or
I'm about to say my daughter grown now, so
<That's>, you have time on your hands again.
Yeah, for sure. Like she's 26 right now, so.
And you got this.
I got my daughter is older than these rap nasty niggas right now. Like,
oh,
what are they gonna tell me?
Right. She into your music? She into your music at all? Or,
she actually make her own music too. You know what I'm saying?
All right.
Are you, man? Tell me a little about your style, because I notice you always dressing pretty dapper on screen. Tell us a little about that. And I also see on your website you got Steady Flow. Is that like your brand or what's going on?
Yeah, that was always since I came out with Steady Flow. From 1990, so I'm saying that was always what it was. But like my style, man, I'm just on some smooth shit, man. I don't like none of this funny style shit. Like you don't catch me with nothing, no tight shit on, fucking spandex.
No skinny jeans for you?
Nah, no skinny jeans, no fucking pants,
no
fucking skateboard sneakers,
no skirts,
and all that shit. Nah, no nail polish. You know what I mean? I'm on some 88 shit right now. I'm taking it back. Like fuck all that.
Well, listen, like I said, we've said this a number of times on this show because, we like to big up the new cats that are doing the right things and doing some kind of, innovative stuff. But that there's really it's a good time. You see the classic hip hop radio stations that are popping up across the country.
Yeah.
There's that audience. And it's real important because that promotion game, they don't know that you're out here doing it. You know what I mean? So the more we can try to get the word out, they're going to be real shocked and pleasantly surprised that people who are doing music like they like are still doing music like they like. You know what I mean?
Mm. Well, I don't know about that, man, because these young niggas don't do their history, man. So, like, they say 50 Cent is old school. Like, fuck you mean? Old school, old school to me is fucking Melly Mel and, Treacherous Three, Spoonie G and shit like that. But
that's old school.
50 Cent is old school.
Yeah. Like, no, you're right.
They don't know shit, man. They don't like... It's crazy, man. Like, how can you perfect your craft and you don't even know where it should even originated from? Like,
yeah, that's true.
Right.
I don't know.
No, definitely. Definitely an issue.
Like I said, niggas they got to do their history, man. But if you don't know me, that's good. Just listen to my shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's what it is.
Act like I'm a new artist. So you just hearing this? Fuck it. Can't, you know what I'm saying? If you one of these new niggas, you can't fuck with me. So
that's what it is. That's what it is. And the proof is in the pudding.
I'm on it.
The proof is in the pudding. You got a nice, 17 track offering right now available?
Actually, that's 17 on the digital. It's 18 on the hard copy.
On
the
physical.
I got the hard copy and I got cassettes too.
Yeah. Oh, that's what's up.
Bonus track on there. That's taking it back.
All right. That's what's
overseas,
up.
Overseas, man. You got to get that overseas money. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Paper is my priority. Pimp, the
yes,
album
sir.
By Granddaddy IU.
Yeah, I want to big up my girl Pink at Cookie Box, you know what I'm saying? Entertainment, you know what I'm saying? She won. I hooked this interview up. So, yeah.
Oh, no doubt. Oh, absolutely. Big up to her and big up to you, man. Like I said, it's an honor and a privilege to speak to you. You know, someone that's been doing it for so long, and we, you know, we fans at the core, man. So, like I said, we were rocking with you then, and we rocking with you now. So, anything you got coming up, you let us know. We'll definitely spread the word. Right now, PIMP
yes,
is available.
Yeah.
Your website is?
GrandDaddyIU.com.
Can't be more simpler than that. So
yes, sir.
You check it out over there. Get yourself a copy. I'm gonna come by. We're gonna have to meet up in the stead, and I'm gonna have to get one of them cassettes from you signed and autographed. You know what I mean? Just for the archives. And
yes, sir.
Word up. So yeah, man. Let us know, and definitely when you perform it in the area, we have a great event calendar on our site, and we'd love to come see you rock, man.
All right, that's what it is.
All right, thanks for checking in, brother, and all the best.
All right,
you,
man.
Sir.
Thanks.
All right, yo.
Peace. Thank you.
Once again, Granddaddy IU on a check-in, representing Strong Island, Long Island, where I rest. funny dude, man. Yo, check out his new project, Paper Is My Priority, PIMP. You can catch that at granddaddyiu.com and support that, man. I know, you know, like I said at the beginning of the show, and we say almost every show, Steve, I don't care who you are, because his new joints is dope. We're going to play his My Neck of the Woods on the way out, the way out of this show. But, if you like his era of music, he's out here still making music.
Mm-hmm.
How can you be out here telling me 90% of rap is garbage and you don't, and then you crawl in your little hole and you go listen to your tapes from 20 years ago, but you're not paying attention to who's dropping something now? Like, this is the same cat.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I could go to work tomorrow, speak to two dudes, tell them Granddaddy IU is making new music, and be like, word? And I'd be like, dude, he's been making music the last, you know, 10 years or so. And now,
like, where you been? You know,
exactly.
So shout, like I said, you could, you know, and that's just one example. You know, it's actually an example I like. I enjoy the way he flow, man. I've always enjoyed his voice. I've enjoyed his, you know, his style and like that real smooth assassin type stuff. That's my them samples, them smooth joints. That's my pocket,
man.
That's that. I love that. Something New is one of my top six or seven joints, man. That's the top joint for me.
And he hasn't deviated. You know, the music he's making today, he hasn't deviated from what made him successful. And,
no, absolutely not.
And the artist that he is, I mean, he's not making the same exact music. Obviously, it's different music, different lyrics, but. You know, why should we treat rap artists differently than rock artists and classical and all the other artists that really just make the same music throughout their career? You know, there's always the trademark of that sound. And those artists are always successful. You know, we shouldn't have artists, you know, Busta Rhymes. I love Busta Rhymes, but I find him very guilty of trying to jump on, you know, today's trends as far as, you know, music is concerned.
Right.
You know, trying to changing up the beats, you know, maybe changing up his flow. You know,
just
Fat
do you.
Another one. You know, do you. Fat, you know, why is Fat Joe, every time a new trend is out, he got to, you know.
Try to jump on.
You know, yeah, man, just do you. I mean, you know, but he's chasing the dollar, you know, and that's, he'd rather chase the money than the actual, you know, the form, of the art
if you're
form.
If you're a long-time listener to this show, we talked about it with Prodigy. When Prodigy came out, from jail, the first thing he did, I think, was like jump on a French Montana track or jump on, you know, and it's like, I see what you're trying to do, but that's not really, like, it sounds really forced and unnatural. And then he went back, and we are calling him out for it, and then he went back into that album with Alchemist, that was Albert Einstein, was it? And I forget, I think it was, whatever it was, he did an album. And he was right back in his pocket. And I was like, yo, peace sounds good again.
Exactly.
You know, like, you can't, I know what you want to do, and I know you're trying to, like, work the trends and work the current thing. But we've said for years that the audience is going to come back to you. Just do your thing, and they'll be there to meet you as they realize that they're not being served anywhere else. And, you know, shouts to a cat like Granddaddy IU that really does put together good music over time, and it really fits that that feel. So, once again, Paper is my priority. Check it out. P-I-M-P, Granddaddy IU. And if you liked that Something New joint back in the days, I mean, it's the same dude. He's got the same DNA, and I like some of the new tracks. So check it out. Sadat X is featured on the album. A couple other people, that's about it, man. There's not a whole lot to do, but to check it out and support and, you know, put some money in a pocket. Then he goes out and performs. Go see him perform. And now you don't have to complain that there's nothing on the radio for you.
Exactly. You know?
It's simple. It's real simple. But, yeah, the New York Hip Hop Report bringing you not only the new, but the old and the new again from our veteran OGs that are out here doing the real deal to reminiscing about cats like Mr. Magic, a true hip-hop icon and radio legend. Once again, new releases by Rat King. Did you check out the Rat King album?
No, I did not. I was unable to get it to play, but I do hear it.
Yeah, it's a Rat King is interesting, man. They really made a great splash. Their debut album, So It Goes, really caught people by, I guess, surprise in a way. There's this new type of artist, a new New York sound that's coming out, and it really pisses me off because, again, I'm going to tell you, if you're listening and you think that New York artists are trying too hard to sound like Down South artists or whatever, that it was a flash in the pan. There was a bunch of artists who tried to sound like they from Down South. We know that ASAP Rocky got big riding that style. We know that French Montana got big riding that style. We've seen a couple of people jump on beats that sound like they're Southern influenced or, you know, rest of the country influenced, but they still rhyme like they're from New York. Now we're hearing a lot of people that are just getting on doing New York sounding beats and New York sounding rhymes again. So as we told you years ago, the attention will be back on New York. The attention will be back on a New York sound. We're never going to win the game again. I think people think that because New York isn't dominating,
yeah,
that
this is the Olympics, so we're trying to get the gold medal.
There's no domination anymore. There's no city, no region is going to dominate the game anymore. So if you're waiting for that, then you're foolish because that's not going to happen. That's not what it's about anymore. Where hip-hop music has evolved to is that there is that global influence now.
They're waiting for the resurgence.
We have the resurgence. It's here. You know what I mean? Whatever you want out of
hip-hop. There's
still
people waiting for it. There's still people waiting for the resurgence has come and passed them, and they're still waiting for it.
That's what it is. They're going to be waiting. Like Jesus came and left, and you're still waiting for the rapture. You was in Starbucks when Jesus came, and you're like, I'm coming out with my caramel macchiato talking about, when's the Lord going to come back? And everyone's gone because you were just paying attention to the barista. You missed it. But it's here. So that's the best thing about New York City. And I'll tell you this, as the proprietor of Birthplace Magazine, as the founder and creator of the New York Hip Hop Report, I am so proud to be able to say this. There is no place on earth that gives you the diversity of hip hop like New York City to this day. If you think otherwise, you're not really trying. If you think that because what you hear on the radio equals what it's become, you're wrong. Whatever kind of hip-hop you like, you can find in New York City. You can't say that about anywhere else in the world. You could say, I love that Down South hip-hop turn-up shit. Take you to any club, turn on the radio, go listen to, you know, whatever Flex is playing or wherever DJ Juanito is in a club or Pro Style is in a club. You'll get current music, and they will turn up and you'll have a great time. New York City. You say, I want that old school. I don't even want to hear about these new cats. I want all my OGs to come through. Granddaddy IU was on a show tonight. Sadat X, his featured on his album, just released new music. How many other old school cats are still releasing music? We talk about it every week. Somebody
Grand
dropped
put out a track the other day that was like, wow, you know, it brought me back to the 90s.
I'm saying, like, the actual OGs are out there. I wrote a big editorial about how the OGs are getting no respect in hip-hop. And I'm like, I don't know what you listen to. I don't know what you read or where you're paying attention, but we give the OGs respect. and they're still doing music. But let's say you don't want OGs, but you want original boom bap type sound in hip hop New York, and then you want some new cats that are doing it. Well, we got that too. You got Joey Badass, you got YC the Cynic, you got Action Bronson, you got Static Selectors putting out tracks with everybody, you know, and still got that flow. We just premiered a song, Saga, produced by Marco Polo. We got that in New York City. All of this we got going on in New York City. You want to go to shows that are indie, discover some new talent, we got that. You want to go see Travis Scott and Young Thug, they were just in Webster Hall. They were just on Long Island at the Paramount. You want to go on some educational tip, wait till I tell you about Odyssey Rap. And shouts to my man, once again, Hired Gun. And shouts to all the hip-hop educational organizations in New York City and artistic communities like Urban Art Beat and Urban Word and I Sell the Shadow. That's hip-hop being done on a humanitarian, philanthropical level. We have it all here. So if you think that because they're not dominating on the radio, and I swear to God, Steve, I just read an article in, it's probably XXL, some used-to-be-great website that isn't anymore, The Source, XXL, whatever. And once again, they started off with the same lame line, you know, about New York hip-hop. Many would say that New York hip-hop has not reestablished its dominance in the blah, 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 blah. Because they don't know anything. But if you can tell me another place on the planet that has more to offer, for God's sakes, and the story of Hamilton is going to be in rap form, is going to be on Broadway. Last year we had the Tupac musical on Broadway, which nobody supported, and I don't know if it was good enough to be supported, but that's not the point. It was there. You know what I mean? We have our OGs and our legends. We have New Jacks, and we're breaking new ground. All in New York City. So you can't tell me that we're not dominating hip-hop. Matter of fact, if everybody was writing an article about this episode, because this is how hip-hop blogs do, right? We do all this talk. We have Granddad IU. We talk about Method Man. We talk about the casting of the new Netflix. We talk about Mr. Magic. We talk about everything. And they would take the one little thing that I said and they'd make a headline out of it. That's what they do, right? So take this. New York dominates hip-hop. In 2015. And people, and you know what? They'll put that on Facebook, and then a bunch of people will be like, New York ain't dominating shit. I listen to the radio. Ain't no New York artists on the radio. Ain't no Action Bronson on the radio. Da da da. And they'll, whatever, because they won't listen to the entire episode. But the point of the matter is that New York dominates hip hop music and culture. There's no other place on the planet that does what we do exactly. Here. Point blank. And I dare you to debate me on it. And you know when you could debate me on it? Next Sunday, 10 p.m., the New York Hip Hop Report, right here, live, with your man Manny Faces, your homie Steve Ortiz. We'll be back next week bringing you another great assortment of great New York hip hop releases and news and opinions. And you can call us up and check in with us. We'll have new guests. We'll make it happen. 1 week from now. So that's where you can come and debate me on it, because New York dominates hip-hop, point blank, period. Am I wrong?
Better. Yeah, I agree, man.
You know, that being said, there's a few good things coming up on the Birthplace Magazine events calendar. My menu is acting up on a site, so if you come to the site, just go to birthplacemag.com/events. And that's how you get right to the calendar. We've got a couple things happening this week. We've got the art battles. This is interesting. Shouts to Ill Spoken. Ill Spoken is our one of our partner event partners with Freestyle Mondays, one of the best things in New York City when it comes to entertainment, musicality, and hip-hop. And that happens every first Monday at Meridian 23 on 23rd in Manhattan. But he's also DJing and hosting a new thing. This is interesting. It's not exactly hip-hop, but it's hip-hop influenced. Art battles at Les Poissons Rouges every Thursday night. They have a thing called Art Battles. It's live art event and competition to expose emerging artists to the public. He'll spoken as the host and a DJ, but the main event is a bunch of artists that are literally competing live, and you're able to witness it. So it's a beautiful, artistic, there's music, you can dance, you can come watch the artists, you can drink, you have a good time. It's a really nice event, and if you're into art and you like watching artists do their thing live, influenced by the music maybe, influenced by the crowd, it's a really cool event, and I wanted to shout them out. Le Poison Rouge is always doing really good events. Lauryn Hill is coming to the Mist Harlem location March 21st. That's a Saturday. And we got the Ultimate Rap League. We got a big battle coming up at Gramercy Theater on the 28th. We've got Currency coming to BB King's. We've got the Lox coming to the Wick in Brooklyn. We've got, I'm just going further down, we've got Lecrae. Oh, we're going to have a nice preview of this show. Lecrae, Andy Mineo, and DJ Promote at the Best Buy Theater. So, again, this is crazy. I hate to say this, Steve. Christian rap music at a giant venue is alive in New York City. Go see Lecrae. He's a Grammy winner. He does, like, you know, Christian hip-hop, holy hip-hop. Like, where else can you get that in the same city that you can get, you know, art battles and some of these other showcases that are popping off? Talib Kweli and Immortal Technique at Highline Ballroom in coming up in April. Like, it's bananas what's going on in this city. And if you could tell me another place that has this kind of diversity in hip-hop every day of the week, then, you know, I'll give you a high five. I'll give you, but you're not going to find it. So check the birthplacemag.com event calendar for these and other amazing upcoming events. And if you're an artist, if you're a promoter, if you're a venue, we have not only free listings, but we have advertising opportunities. Shouts to the Paramount on Long Island, Huntington. They just had the Travis Scott. So listen, check this out. This is how well we know how to pick everything. They ran a campaign with us, and we supported them, and 100% thank you so much. And we hope that you support the Paramount. It's a great venue on Long Island, and they open their doors to hip-hop. For a venue of that size to open their doors to hip-hop when venues of that size are closing their doors to hip-hop, that's something to be commended. That's what we want. They had Young Thug and Travis Scott right over there at the Paramount in Huntington, and we promoted the show, and we talked about it, we ran an ad, and thank you to them for supporting us, and thank you for supporting them, because obviously if you support them and they're supporting us, it's a beautiful cycle. You know who's at that show Friday night?
Who?
Rihanna.
Are you serious?
Just hanging out. Just hanging out at the show. You know what I mean? Rihanna hanging out on Long Island at the Paramount at a Young Thug show, chilling. You know what I mean? So it's like, I love a venue that shows hip-hop. I know there's going to be my purists who are like, whatever, that garbage, da-da-da-da-da-da. No, I'm 100% glad that Paramount had a show that featured, you know, hip-hop artists. Rihanna was there. It made the news. It made the news. It was, you know, on the blogs and Instagrams and such. You know, Rihanna was in the house. There was no craziness as far as I know. Everything was good and cool. We need that. Shouts to the Paramount in Huntington. Follow them on Facebook. Make sure you pay attention because they open the doors to hip-hop. Go buy tickets and go tell them that Manny Faces and the New York Hip Hop Report and Birthplace Magazine sent you, and we'll have a nice relationship with venues like that. Once again, shouts to Benny Blanco, DJ Benny Blanco on the check. Oh, my DJ's in the house tonight. DJ Benny Blanco, DJ Ace of Spades on the check-in. Shouts again to Granddaddy IU for calling in and kicking it with us. Good to hear that that brother doing good things. Check out his new project, Paper Is My Priority, P-I-M-P, available now. Go to granddaddyiu.com and purchase that album. Support the type of hip-hop that you say doesn't exist, but it really does. Make sure you support that. What
it's
else we got,
Steve? It's dope that he does his own production. I mean,
I'm a big fan of that, too.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's a lot of work to not only, you know, do the lyrics, but do the production as well and make it sound, you know, like goes together, which a lot of artists have problems doing.
Yeah.
Not a lot of artists, but, you know, some artists make the mistake of just, you know, working with this producer and that producer, and it's not really a good match.
I was going to say, J. Cole caught some criticism. I think some people, because J. Cole self-produced, you know, some of his joints on the Forest Hills Drive album that he just put out.
Yeah.
And I think there's some, there was a little bit of criticism from some people on the production of, you know, Value. Let's say, ah, maybe if he didn't self-produce, you know, would have been a bit stronger. But listen, you know, I found it to be adequate, so I'm not going to complain. But yeah, it's interesting when an artist can do production and do it well. I never liked, well, you know, Eminem does some self-production, which is aight.
MF Doom does a lot of self-production.
MF Doom, yeah. So, yeah, maybe we got to put together a list of
Large Professor.
Large Professor is one of the best, you know. Well, he said he's one of the best in the game. To be able to spit, you know, and to be able to produce at the same time. Of course, Manny Faces was good once in his day. But
schizophrenic, son.
You're killing me, yo. So anyway, listen, lots of things coming up. Check out tomorrow. We have a great interview that's posting tomorrow on Birthplace Magazine. Once again, hip-hop music and culture and entrepreneurialism, not just the rappers on the mic, but sometimes the people behind the camera. We got a great interview with Mazi O, directed by Mazi O. You see a lot of videos done by this brother, and he's now done an indie film as well. So we have a great interview with Mazi O coming up. That'll be tomorrow, Monday, on Birthplace Magazine, birthplacemag.com, the number one website for New York hip-hop. Do check us out, nyhiphopreport.com. You catch all our past episodes. We're on iTunes or as a podcast. You can get us there. And, of course, Twitter, at nyhiphopreport. I'm Manny Faces, at Manny Faces. Find out more about me, mannyfaces.com. Check my other podcast show, The Manny Faces Show, at Bonfire Radio every alternating Thursday. And, of course, my DJ appearances, you check out all that stuff at mannyfaces.com. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Thanks for not calling in, but you guys are listening, so I'll take it. And we'll check you next Sunday night around 10 p.m., and we'll bring you some new interesting stuff. Once again, happy birthday to the late, great Mr. Magic. And shouts to everyone who's supporting us, man. We really love y'all for, you know, showing love, man. We couldn't do it without you. Wouldn't want to do it without you. That's what it is. Steve, thanks for joining me again, my brother.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
All right. I'm going to take y'all out with the new joint by Granddaddy IU. He was our guest tonight. He represents Long Island, Strong Island, where I rest. Shouts to the Stead. Shouts to Westbury, Long Island, my hometown. And shouts to y'all for listening. Once again, Granddaddy IU, this is My Neck of the Woods off of his brand new project, Paper Is My Priority. Check him out, granddaddyiu.com. We'll play this. We'll play our outro, and we'll be back next week, Sunday, 10 p.m. Once again, my name is Manny Faces. Thanks, y'all, for checking in. Steve, thanks again, man. We'll catch y'all next week.
Peace.
Yeah. Check it. Where I'm from, the hallways are way busy. Girls skate like Missy. One straight from the AK, you make your ass history. Jake Lissy, but the burners in my bitch purse. So I disperse before the situation gets worse. I see niggas get knocked on a humbug. Police put 32 bullets in some thugs. And thugs be ringing out the slugs. Be ringing out from the place where Jake and Alicia Keys sang about. New York, New York, we call it New Diddy. Put a price on your life as little as 250 in the young girl's gold. Dancing on the pole, having dollar bills thrown at her. So stoned, it don't matter. Taking a debt to pay her way through Yale. Yeah, right, more life to pay her boyfriend's bail. And the sales that we caught being young and dumb, preventing us from getting jobs. Now we trapped in the slum. With rings and fried rice and dinner every night. Niggas get to drinking, that yak is gonna be your fight. And granny in the church paying tithes to the Lord. Meanwhile, the price of living, she can hardly afford. Say something seems too good, it's probably a fraud. It's not positive to look towards.
Why can't we break? Life's gonna hide things, no love in the city.
No love, no love.
The way it comes down, in my neck of the world.
The same shit is going on.
Where the gangsters place that lean on the old side of the shore. It's the way it goes down, in my neck of the world.
Yeah.
Yo, hot off the press, Taheem just got shot. In the park, a lot of jam rock, believe it or not. And the shooter was getting through. Now I ain't gonna say it. The streets got a cold, my nigga, and I'll obey it. But this fuck always drunk, so snitches out of hand now. One nigga with a case to bring the whole band down. How's it work? Conceal your hammers, cause everywhere you look, they got surveillance cameras. The niggas are ID you when the feds show the footage. So you gotta teach niggas a lesson. With some bullets, you gotta protect yours, win or lose. Cause these days, young boys.
boys a murky for a pair of tennis shoes. There's no loyalty, no respect. Keep your enemies close, in your holes and check. I keep bail money in the Jewish lawyer on deck, cause you never know what to expect. It's my
the
break
like star, honey, ain't no love in
the city. No love, no love.
The way you in my neck in the woods.
The same shit is going on.
Revocations place and lean on the whole time of the soul. It's the way it goes down. In my neck in the woods.
The same shit is going on. I used to go to the mall, I used to make a lot. Now I go to the bar so I can take a shot. It's like my faith is gone. I've been stuck in this place so long. And nigga, this is more than just lyrics, more than a great song. It's the ode to the code that I was raised on. Learned from Easy Rick, Big H, and Naquan. Taught me how to hustle and keep my game strong. And never let Ned nigga beat me. When Rick died, I swear it hurt deeply. To this day, I still cry discreetly. Yeah, thug do that too. It's nothing new. Imagine losing the nigga you was closest to. While he waiting on a kitty that was overdue. I'm chasing Remy with a brew, trying to numb the pain. Since he been gone, shit ain't been the same.
If I'm in the world,
no love, no love.
The way it goes down in my neck in the woods.
The same shit is going on.
Revocation's place and lean on the whole side of the soul. It's the way it goes down in my neck in the woods.
The same shit is going on.
Sure, we need more people like you just spreading the word about these artists.
I appreciate
you know.
That, man, for
yes,
real.
Indeed.
We need more people like y'all rocking on the radio and letting everybody know, especially shout out to the people listening in New Zealand. That blew me away. I was like, that's what's up.
Yeah, that's what's up.
This is my first time checking out the show. I'm glad to see somebody talking about hip-hop in this format. I'm used to hearing sports talk radio, so this is a dream come true right here.
Also, real quickly, I would add that this is the first talk show that's, you know, that prescribes to our condition. I mean, I listen to talk radio all the time. First time I've ever heard an eloquent talk show host like you and your co-host who actually has the skill of dictation.
Many faces.
You sick for this one. This one.
I'm on my New York. Got the world following the New York script. Hustle with Timbs and hoodies on my New York flip. Rubber band sack money with my New York click. Yeah, I'm on my New York. I rep the Giants, Jets, New York Knicks. TaylorMade clothing with my New York stitch. My chick banging, don't you see my New York? Yeah, I'm on my New York stitch.